everybody. Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop. Happy Monday to you. I'm trying to wake up. How are you doing with that whole little scheme of events? Was it a great weekend for you? It was a busy weekend. I watched football 9 hours yesterday. I didn't leave the couch, so it was fabulous, although didn't win anything because I bet on Jeffrey's Patriots. Jeffrey with a G. You did give me Thursday, so I did win on Thursday.
I did.
Anybody against Cleveland and the under.
Jeffrey with a G did not do very well with his picks this weekend.
You did not either.
That's me, Jeffrey with a G. Yeah. Did not do very well. I gave our listeners 4 plays last week, and I went 1-3. And I couldn't even give them a winner in the UFC fight, Conor McGregor. I gave them Eddie Alvarez, and McGregor just toyed with him. It was a joke.
Yeah, you're not drinking enough. So, sitting to your left and our right, Cubs dad, Mike Bryan in studio.
Woo! MVP. Yeah.
Congratulations,
let's play two.
Congratulations.
And sitting to Jeffrey's right and your left, the Tommy Llama. Tommy Llama, a stand-up comic starting at the Stratosphere December 3rd.
5th.
December 5th with our friends over at the Stratosphere, top of the world. Chef Giffen, shout out to everybody over at the Strat.
You know Rick?
I know Chef Giffen really well.
You know everybody.
Yeah, we're golfing buddies from way back. Yeah. So anyway, how was your weekend, everybody? Tell us about it. Drop us a line. If you're near the computer, we're on Facebook Live. If you're not near the computer and you're on the radio, then get a computer. Mike, can you walk us through from the beginning, beginning of the season to Game 7, you know, everything that you went through being the Cubs' dad, and then what happened at that 7th game, so... It's yours, buddy. Tell us. Give us.
Can you wrap
story.
Up 6 months in 30 seconds?
We got time. We got an hour.
Exultation. No, it was unbelievable. Expectations were so high
going in,
and then they rocked it, you know, right from the beginning, going like 46-3 or something like that. Well, it wasn't that, but it felt that way.
Right.
It felt like we were going to win 140 games. And all through the season, you know, the confidence level was off the charts. This team was really enjoying each other. We get into the playoffs, expectedly so, and I was there from the very first game to Game 7 of the World Series, and the excitement level was off the charts. Chicago and Wrigleyville was just absolutely out of their minds, giddy happiness, and they were on a roller coaster of emotions. Because I remember at one point during the game.
We're talking about Game 7?
No, this was before now. There was one point during the game, I think it was...
In the Cleveland series?
No, it was in the L.A. series where they hit a foul ball down towards Bartman territory.
I know, yes, I saw yes. that.
And the whole... you could feel the whole stadium.
Everyone was thinking the same thing.
Everything just went... Whoo, and I said, relax, come on, man, we got to... You know, we got to get over this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we put them away, and then, of course, in Cleveland, the emotions were intense. I mean, when Rajay Davis hit that home run off Chapman to tie...
The game. At 6?
Oh, everybody was, like, bawling and, like, within earshot, and we get the family, and I stood up, and I just said, hey! I said, that's the best that they could do, and they tied us. They're not ahead. I said, this isn't over. Come on, man. You know, so... All of a sudden, everybody's like, yeah, yeah, let's listen to Chris Bryant's dad. You know, he knows what he's talking about, you know. So, well, then the rains opened up for 20 minutes. We got a nice rain delay. Jason Hayward gave a speech, rest is history. It was unbelievable. Just, you know, and David Ross hitting a home run in his final game. And there's so many good things happen. There's got to be a movie or a book. That's going to be out pretty soon.
What I've been saying is, you know, and then the gods parted the clouds, the heavens opened up, and it rained on Cleveland.
It did. And poor Cleveland. No, no fights or anything except in L.A. There's a bunch of, you know, I don't know if I can say certain words on the radio.
What kind of fights? Like in the stands?
Oh, there was one guy behind us, 5 rows behind me, you know, calling the wives and the girlfriends.
Oh, really?
Paycheck. Girls and this and that. I'm like,
wow.
And he was, and they're throwing stuff at
in
us.
In L.A.?
Yeah, in L.A.
It's always in L.A.
Yeah, it's always
really?
In L.A.
Really?
Yeah.
I always think of L.A.
Oakland,
as everyone is politically
San Fran,
correct.
L.A. are the worst.
Let's ask our guru here, Tommy Llama, expert on everything, what you think about people being rude at sports events.
I'm glad you asked that question. I have to say.
I'm glad I asked the question.
It's a very good question. I think... They're not rude enough. I think, and I think Listen where I'm going. This is very deep stuff. And this is the reason why I'm gonna bring the NFL here, that their ratings and their ticket sales are declining. Because there was a day, there was a time where Foxborough Stadium was the most dangerous place on earth on a Monday night when the Patriots were playing. People would come, right? And then what happened? There was violence, right? Now, they started winning. The violence stopped. Okay? Now if you want that type of action live in the audience, you have to go to a Dodgers game.
I've been to a Dodgers game. And, you know, I find that the fans in L.A. get there at 3 in the, you know, in the third inning, and they leave in the seventh inning.
That's just unless what they did.
Unless it's the playoffs.
That's what they did, even for the playoffs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's because the parking lot is ridiculous. It's so, you can't move. You're landlocked out there. You're in line in your car for 45 minutes before you move 10 feet. So that's why they try to beat the crowd. And so if it's a close game, they'll stay. You know,
I don't know. I mean, the Dodger dogs are okay, but they're, you know, nothing like the Vienna dogs that you get at Wrigley.
No way.
Fenway Franks are the best.
Yeah,
are
Fenway's they? Up there.
Come on, Mike knows.
Yeah, Fenway's up there.
They're now, good. Mike, you played for the Red Sox.
Yeah, minor leaguer. Played with Oil Can Boyd. He was my roomie. Worked out with Dwight Evans and Fisk and Yaz and...
Oil Can Boyd. Yeah, his grandmother served at my college cafeteria in Providence, Johnson and Wales.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oil Can, we were close, man. He called me a brother, man. You know, I was one of the only few white guys that were allowed into the brotherhood there. And
why'd they call him Oil Can?
I felt special. Well, because he drank Foster Lager, and it looked like an oil can. So, and he'd get like a case of those, and you saw him. You remember those things.
I remember the big Fosters.
Those were huge. They tasted like... Oh, man. Yeah. They were worse than Schlitz, you know.
How about Natty Ice?
I think this is Natty Lights. This is a perfect time to plug Big Dog's beer.
That's good.
We've got to talk about craft beer. We've got to talk about Big Dog's Draft House. All you can eat Thanksgiving dinner. It's Turkey Day. And I say Herb Roasted Turkey.
Love Herb.
Herb Roasted.
We love Herb.
Here. Herb Roasted. Here. Hold this.
No, it's Hoib. Hoib.
Hoib.
But you're supposed to hold it on, people. Thanksgiving dinner, not you. Green bean casserole, roasted apple and maple sausage, cornbread stuffing, candied sweet yams, roasted garlic, mashed potatoes, homemade turkey gravy, cranberry walnut chutney, and pumpkin or pecan. By all for $17.95. That's Thursday, November 24th, 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. While supplies last, you might want to consider making reservations at 702-645-1404, 645-1404. That's Big Dog's Draft House. Still music on the patio on Thursdays for a couple of more weeks. So you want to enjoy this perfect weather that we're having at Big Dog's. And if you're a Packers fan or football fan, you can watch the games.
Or if you like cheese curd.
If you love the cheese curds like we do.
Or walleye that's flown in fresh daily.
Yeah, fresh walleye. Cheese curds. We're hooked on the cheese curds. And I tried a new craft beer that they had there the other day when I was out drinking with Kurt. And
Which one is it?
It was amazing. We went to the Sandower.
Great place.
After karaoke.
Yeah, I remember.
You didn't.
You could have gone,
and I wouldn't have even known you where you went. And once again, it was a wine tasting / whiskey / beer
karaoke.
Tasting. It was just a tasting. You know, karaoke. The karaoke wine tastings are huge. Where they're getting better every time. Neither one of us sang as much.
75 to 100 people there. The place was packed. He gets me up there to sing Dean Martin. Ain't that a kick in the head?
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Wow, that's awesome, Dean Martin.
Yeah. So we're going to do more of those. I think there's two wine tastings tonight. There's wine tasting on Wednesday and Thursday, and a big one on Saturday. There's two in Henderson tonight. So if you're interested in the wine club, go to VegasWineLovers.com, or you can send me some kind of a message on social media at Jonathan Scott LV, @Jonathan, JonathanScott LV, for more information on our Direct Sellers Wine Club, where you can have wine delivered to your home like Christmas. You know, it's like once a month, wine to your home. I don't know what else to say about it, Jeffrey. Do you have anything more to say about the wine club outside of it's a tasting?
How do you get it accepted if you're not home to sign for it? UPS has left me three
UPS will hold it for you, and you can go to UPS.
I have to go to UPS.
You have to go to UPS. ups. Because they have to have somebody over 21 to sign for the wine.
I know.
So you get different wine every month, and the social aspect is unbelievable. Get social, get drunk, get
Make
paid.
Some money, build a business.
Build a business. I don't know if the get drunk part is really part of their
get
slogan.
Get drunk, build a business.
So game seven. How much time are we good on time? First,
3 minutes.
You covered up the clock. I can't see the clock anymore.
I was going to say, we got a new...
Oh,
moved to cheese.
The clock on the wall.
We got a new TV here in the studio.
We got a new TV, but they moved the clock on the other side. So, Tommy, I'm going to pick on you some more, because I know you're opening, and I haven't seen your show yet. I haven't seen your act. So you just field questions on life in general?
Yeah. I mean, I
the like, Tommy Llama?
Like, yeah, because a lot of people that come to my show have made mistakes in their lives.
Yeah.
And some of them are sitting next to them.
So I'm trying to figure this out. I hear the Brooklyn, I see the Elvis.
Yeah.
And we're tying in the Dalai Lama to all this?
I'm my own incarnation.
I understand.
I'm an amalgamation of everything.
An amalgamation.
The secular, I bring it together.
I'm sorry, what did you say? Vasecular? Yeah.
Testicular. Now, so my show is a self-help.
Yes.
People call it a comedy because there's laughter in there. Yes. Laughter is necessary to release the tensions and to get all the dopamine going. But it's an interactive...
Any dopamine is a dopamine.
Yes. And what I do is it's an interactive, they say, comedy show where you leave... with bigger problems than you had before.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I talk to... there's nothing I don't do. I talk to
you
the
sing?
Dead. No. Yeah, I could sing, but it's not good. But oh, that's okay. But I try, and that's what I show people. Do the effort. Do the effort. I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway. But my show has... I mix and match couples if they were married. You know, I call it speed dating. You know, because sometimes you don't really miss your partner till they're gone.
And sometimes you don't miss them after they're gone.
That's true. And so we do these types. I call it feng shui, where I rearrange the energy levels in the room to achieve a higher state of unconsciousness.
That's a country song.
A higher
How
state
could I miss
of
you
unconsciousness.
If you woke them away?
A few beers will do that, though, right?
And the thing is, you can.
Back to the beer.
And I condone drinking during my shows.
Yeah.
Because then the stuff, what I'm saying, makes sense.
Yeah. Hashtag beer. Hashtag it's what's for dinner.
I just like listening to the Canarsie come out. It's great.
The Canarsie? What's that?
From Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn.
But what is Canarsie?
He's got that great accent. Brooklyn.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, that's a major league accent.
Yeah, that's
right
a major
there.
League accent. Yeah. Right there. You can't make that up.
No,
that's
you can't.
Deal.
You can't make that up. It's perfect. It's like mine, Boston. You know what I'm talking about? You know?
He's wicked smart.
Yeah, I'm wicked smart, and my kid hits the ball wicked hard, and far, too, you know.
So what about those Patriots last night, buddy?
They got outplayed. Listen, I said to people last night, you know, we can't win every game. It's just another regular season game. I guarantee Belichick and Brady took a lot away from the game. They'll remember again if they ever do face.
Boy, that last minute was just
Seahawks.
Hard. It was tough to watch.
I was just talking about it with Tommy Llama over here before. You know, Patriots are on the goal line, down by a touchdown, and the play calling was just... very questionable.
Yeah.
Very questionable.
Well, I couldn't have won. You know, I should have taken your advice and bought that half point on that game.
Yes.
Because I had -7.5, -7. I still would have lost, even if the Patriots would have tied it and gone into something else. There was no way I could have won at that point, but I made the over.
Yes, you did.
I made the over part. And it was a rough, it wasn't as easy as the week before to pick anything. But I told you those 13.5 points on the 49ers game. I did tell you that anytime I see 13.5 or double digit
points.
It wasn't
even close.
Any given Sunday. We're going to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on KBAT 920 AM. Stay right where you are. Scott back with Vegas Nonstop here on KBAT 920 AM. KBAT So what are you up to? What's going on? Are you ready to start the work week, and are you ready to just lay on the couch and watch more football tonight?
Are you talking to yourself or to us?
I'm talking to anybody. I'm talking to anybody that will listen.
Anyone that will listen and give you an answer.
So you want to talk a little bit about the Bengals and the Giants?
Sure. I mean, week 10
is... It's a one-point spread.
It's now a pick'em, actually.
Now it's a pick'em.
Yeah, Tommy actually just pointed out that the Giants opened up as 2.5-point favorites.
Yes.
Joining us, Tommy Lama.
Yes.
Soon to be headlining at the Stratosphere. And Mike Bryant, Cubs dad.
MVD.
MVPD. Yeah.
And I condone gambling.
Most valuable player's
not
dad.
Not self-proclaimed, though. I mean, that David Kaplan at CSN gave me the, and Todd Hollinsworth gave me the MVD, most valuable dad.
No. I got a question for you. All the other guys, are their parents, obviously you come from the world of baseball, you know these guys, you were a former major leaguer, you're now a coach. Were they as involved, or are you like...
The parents of the players?
Yeah.
No, not really. No, I mean, they're like, I grew up blue collar moms and dads, and the Rizzos. I'm close with the Rizzos. I made friends with the Zobrists, the Fowlers. I love the Fowlers. They all got $1 million smiles. The whole family, the brothers.
I love Dexter.
Oh my God, they're just handsome dudes. You know, they got it. And
where are they from?
Georgia.
Georgia.
Georgia. Yep. And I
does he have a southern drawl?
No.
No.
No, not really. It's it's pretty, you know, straightforward.
Speaking of the Zobras, how about that guy?
How about his wife?
she's
quiet.
Sweet.
My.
That's enough.
She can sing. Oh, my God. Can she
really
sing the national anthem?
Voice?
Yeah, she sang the national anthem. She's a Christian singer, and you can see her on YouTube, Juliana Zobras. She sings very well.
I was explaining to these guys, like a guy like a Ben Zobrist, he's one of these guys. You're not going to hear a lot about him. He's not going to lead the league in anything. He's not going to win a lot of awards other than MVP.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to play, he just does it all.
He's a total, consummate professional baseball player.
Yeah.
And he's a leader, and his demeanor is good. He doesn't get too high,
he's
too
like
low.
This.
He's a leader with a demeanor.
He's a leader with a demeanor. A demeanor.
And okay, Mike, so you're on the bus. The seventh game is over. You're going to Chicago. 5 million people turn out, and you're on the bus, right?
Oh, yeah. We're in the open-air buses. I was overwhelmed, completely overwhelmed at that many people for a sustained 6-mile run, and then it ended at Grant Park, and I looked out over the crowd and I says, you got to be kidding me. There was over 1.5 million people spread out over this ammo, and this is like, you know, I called it Woodstock, right? 3 times the size, and then Madden puts his own
Cub stock
on it, you know.
And as only Joe could do.
Only Joe can do that. Yeah, I had to leave it up to Joe. I didn't want to upstage. No. no, but seeing all that down Michigan Ave, there were so many people on the. They were up in the buildings, coming out the windows on both sides. They were deep down the intersections, a half a mile deep. It was overwhelming, the outpouring of love, and everybody's like just crying and bawling their eyes out. And
what do we say, John?
Hashtag
when grown men cry.
They wanted their Cubbies to win so bad. And when we got home from Cleveland, the Ricketts, they chartered a 747 for us, for the families and the players, double-decker plane, and it was party plane. It was like airplane. What is that?
Airplane. Leslie.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Okay, I speak jive.
Well, so we're all, you know, I'm exhausted. My wife and I are just sitting there, but everybody's walking around the plane. Chris is going in the cockpit. He's up in the second floor checking out that, and they're all walking around. Rizzo's dad's grabbing. He had a...
Grabbing what? I'm sorry.
He grabbing candy bars.
Because it's a presidential mandate now, I think.
Yeah, we got to be careful there. But so
grabbing candy bars.
So we land in Chicago. We get to the terminal, the private side of the O'Hare, and we pull into this gigantic hangar, and all the workers are lined up along the walls, like soldiers, giving us, you know, clapping away, getting off the plane. It was overwhelming. We get into the buses, and we're heading out. We get out. Onto the road.
What time is it now? Like 3 in the morning?
5:15 in the morning. All the emergency vehicles that lined up, had to be 60 of them on each side, and they had ambulances and cop cars and fire trucks and hook and ladders. So we approach it, and all the lights and sirens started going on one by one, like a Christmas tree lighting up. We get to the end of it, and they got they turn on the hoses, and they get this arch of water. They soak the buses. We get onto the freeway, escorted by 12 motorcycle, state police, and 6 cop cars, and everybody was stopping the whole way, though. They're hanging out the windows. They're wasted out of their mind. They got beer cans and wine bottles, and I'm just looking at this going, I mean, I woke up at that point because I was like, wow, this is amazing. And we get to Wrigleyville. There's about 5,000 people waiting for us on Waveland, and it was just, and this is the day before the parade.
Oh,
okay?
Right.
This is when we got in.
This is just coming in from Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah, and you can't. I can't find the words.
I love the look on your face right now.
I'm out of my mind.
I know.
I was, you know, reliving it right now with you guys.
I see it.
And it was overwhelming support, and they love their team, and it's forever changed. Baseball is forever changed on the north side of Chicago right now.
You know, our friend Joe Montaigne, shout out, happy birthday to Joe from yesterday.
Happy birthday,
Joe. He said when Joe was on the phone, you called last week, I think,
yeah,
we talked to you.
Yep.
Joe said after the Cubs win the World Series, they should just stop playing baseball. It should just be baseball's over now. Okay, Cubs won, over. But tell us a little bit about Bill Murray celebration party.
I'm sitting down there on the back of a golf cart, video bombing my son on ESPN, was it? I think he was, Chris Berman was interviewing him. I was pulling Bermanisms on him. He loved me.
You know
the
Bermanism?
Be Home Blylevin? Well, I threw some of my own at him. He was impressed. So.
Be Home Blylevin?
Yeah, Be Home Blylevin. Remember that? That's
Bert
the Blylevin? Classic of all
no,
time.
No, what's that?
Yeah.
What's
Bert Blylevin.
Bert Blylevin, the Bermanism. He always adds his own little flair, and he called him Bert Be Home Blylevin.
Oh,
you know,
by 11.
By 11, yeah, right.
He doesn't
and UB Babylon Brooks, and you know, and he's got all these.
He doesn't
sayings.
Get us.
Well, I'll school you.
Yeah, school me. Okay. So
I'm video bombing him. I'm sitting on the back of the golf cart. Me and my wife. She's got her head on my shoulder. She's falling asleep. Bill Murray comes up, sits right on my lap.
Boomer did?
Bill Murray.
Oh, Bill Murray.
And he's lit. He is like. He is wasted. And he turns around and he looks at me and his eyes are slits and he goes, I really like this vibe. and I said, hey. And that's when I recognized it was Bill Murray. I thought it was anybody else sitting on my lap and going, what's going on here? So I said, hey, Bill. I said, nice to meet you. I says, I'm Chris Bryant's dad, Mike, and this is his mom, Susie. And his eyes open up wide and he goes, thank you so much for him. and he just, so we start talking. And I said, Bill, I want to tell you, my second date with my lovely wife here, we went and saw Meatballs, you know, at the movie. And I started reciting.
Great movie.
How romantic of you.
Yeah.
Isn't it romantic?
Well, this was the second date.
Meatballs
the first date
is
was
great.
The champ. Okay, with John
Boat. And Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Ricky Schroeder and Ken Norton.
Champ.
Is it Ken? Not Ken Norton.
That was John
from
Voight.
From The White Shadow. No?
No, it's John Voight.
And Ricky Schroeder.
And Faye Dunaway and Ricky Schroeder. And Champ dies at the end and everybody's crying.
And then you lose it.
So I go to Meatballs.
Thanks for ruining it for me.
It's only 40
it's
years old.
40 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
So I start talking about our second date, Meatballs, and I start reciting lines from the movie. And he's like, he's peeking.
Woody the Wabbit?
Yeah, actors love that when you do it.
They love it. I'm going, remember, it just doesn't matter. It just, because all the real good-looking girls go to Camp Mohawk.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, just doesn't matter, right? He's looking at me going, I think I like you, Mr. Bryant. I said,
Mr.
No.
Mr. Bryant.
KD. Chris's dad. KD.
Chris's dad.
No, that's a great experience. I mean, meeting Bill Murray, he's a legend. He's a comic legend. Saturday Night Live guy. Fits right in your up your alley. Tommy. Right?
Tommy Lama.
I taught Bill everything he knows.
There you go, man. remember him in Stripes?
Yes.
The Brooklyn Cabbie? Remember
Is
that what his role was?
Caused havoc on that bridge.
He's bawling his eyes out, Bill. And when Chris hit the home run in game 5, facing elimination, you know, off Bauer to tie the score.
Right.
They Cliff moved over to him, and he started bawling. I said, Bill, why'd you start crying for? He goes, because at that point, I knew we were going to win the World Series. And he says, your kid turned it around for me. And I said, glad to help, man.
I think it was between game 5 and game 6 that PBS ran the Mark Twain Award. It went to Bill Murray. He got he got the Mark Twain Award and said, luckily the Cubs won, otherwise he wasn't going to make it to D.C. for the Mark Twain Awards.
Oh, right.
And they
right.
showed that clip from, I guess, I didn't know it was from Meatballs, where it's just, it just doesn't matter, where they were just jumping around.
Bill Murray's a huge fan, and you know,
he almost became
that.
Like the mascot, like it was weird everywhere. I know. Saw him everywhere.
I know. He was. He goes to more Cubs games than anybody. But they get that little clip where he does the that they play at every game, every home game, and he's talking about how his brother brought him up. No, before the game.
Oh, Brian Doyle. Yeah.
Walked him up the stairs and made him close his eyes and. And he opens up his eyes and he sees the most beautiful thing he's ever seen, you know, Wrigley Field. And, you know, he's so sentimental.
I didn't hear that story.
It's the very first time he went to Wrigley, and they play it at every home game, and then they go into the big, you know, the
All right, let me hear you now.
Yeah, Harry. Yeah, Harry did seventh inning stretch, and you know, they get him on the video board all the time there, Harry Carey. He's special. I met Chip. Chip Carey.
Chip Carey.
Yep.
He used to announce, I think, for St. Louis.
Did he do that too?
I think Chip was an announcer, okay. Baseball announcer as well.
Because his dad did St. Louis as well.
Yeah, till they ran him out of town. Huh? Skip, not Chip.
Skip, okay. And then I got to meet Aaron Boone. He's got his USC stuff on him.
Aaron Boone.
Yeah, Aaron Boone.
We don't like that guy.
Broke our hearts, the Yankees.
We don't like that guy, Mike.
No, but you know what? He gave me a plug on Sunday Night Baseball. That was worth $150,000 easy. You give me 10 minutes of how I was, you know, destroying the false narrative about hitting the top of the ball and hitting the ball on the ground and how I was single-handedly responsible for destroying the false narrative, you know.
Really?
But we're going to get back to that. We've got to take another commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here in KBAT cool. 920 AM. Stay right where you are.
Are you in the market for a used car? Las Vegas Auto Sales specializes in financing entertainers and hospitality workers. Las Vegas Auto Sales can get you finance if you have bad credit, a repo, or a bankruptcy. Easy approval on great used cars under $10,000. Drive off in a new ride today. $1,000 gets you rolling. Ballers welcome. Las Vegas Auto Sales. 2901 South Highland Avenue, next to Treasures. Visit their website at LasVegasAutoSales.com for the best used car deals. Las Vegas Auto Sales, 702-877-1212. That's 702-877-1212.
You can't buy a best friend. You can love them, walk them, pet them, and care for them, whether they want you to or not. You can take a picture or 50. You can fly to the moon, travel the world, or just stay in bed. You can't buy a best friend like that, but you can adopt one. There are millions of pets waiting for a best friend just like you. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
Scott back with Vegas Nonstop. It's not the end of the world, as you know, and it's only Monday. It's only Monday in Las Vegas with all kinds of stuff to do this week. I don't know what they are, but there's wine tastings tonight. You may have heard the commercial. You can give us a call at 702-883-1111. That's 883-1111 for more information on our wine tasting parties. And before we took the break, Mike was talking about being a batting coach and somebody saying that he messed everything up for...
Not somebody, Aaron Boone.
No, that he was validating me.
But talk a little about Ted Williams, the Ted Williams connection, because everybody's fascinated with
it. I worked with Ted for two spring trainings, and he's the roving instructor for the Red Sox. So I used to, you know, see him every morning with a couple other guys down in the backfields, and he would impart his wisdom onto us.
What time did you start drinking?
me? As soon as the practice was done, at probably 2:30 in the afternoon.
Jeffrey, you wanted to talk more about that?
I wanted to talk about what the conversation that you and Aaron Boone had on Sunday Night Baseball.
Okay, yeah. And
why he brought it up.
Aaron Boone, I didn't talk with him on Sunday Night Baseball. I was watching Sunday Night Baseball. Jessica Mendoza had done a little ditty on Chris and was asking him, you know, obviously your dad was your biggest influence in your life on hitting with the Ted Williams thing. He goes, she made him, you know, go through a couple of things, and that he was talking about was, he said, you know, it always hit the ball in the air, it always hit it hard, always hit the bottom of the ball. And that branched off into the game where Dan Shulman was leading the conversation. He says, so, Aaron, what's your take on that? And he goes, Aaron goes, I love it. And he goes, Mike Bryan has destroyed the false narrative that you should somehow be hitting on top of the baseball and it would produce results. It's wrong. He goes, it's totally wrong. Mike's been teaching his kids since he was very young to hit the bottom of the ball, to hit it in the air, to hit it hard. And he, you know, he went on to, you know, to validate my teachings. And even though it might have been against the grain, okay, at the time, it was the right thing to do. And he talked about his hitting instructor when he was with Cincinnati.
And Aaron's hitting instructor.
Yeah, Aaron talked about his hitting instructor when he was with Cincinnati and how he used to show him information that Ichiro would be a 480 hitter when he hit the ball in the air and he'd hit 232 when he hit the ball on the ground, even though he was super fast.
And could probably hit a lot more home runs if he wanted to.
And yeah,
people don't realize the power Ichiro has.
That's right. Well, yeah, exactly. He's hit some balls. I've seen him hit balls out of the park. But the main thrust of it was on Sunday Night Baseball. My name's popping up all over the place in this conversation. And of course, my phone starts blowing up shortly after. Hey, he's talking about you on Sunday. You know, and they're all smiling, sending me smiley faces and emojis with all this, and, you know, and I'm like, hey, I haven't changed anything in the way I teach. I just got better at it. And, you know, hitting the ball in the air was like anathema to people. You know, like, oh, you got to hit the ball on the ground. Well, you're out 85% of the time if you hit the ball on the ground. That's bottom line.
And these were all things that Teddy Ballgame taught you.
And he was 50 and 60 years ahead of the curve.
Amazing.
Let me tell you, you know,
how come more people didn't jump on his philosophies being as successful a hitter as he was?
That's a great question, because John Mailey, the hitting guy for the Cubs, always said, you know, Ted was saying the right things and nobody was listening. I don't know. Why wouldn't you listen to the guy hit 400?
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
there's a reason why they called him, you know, Teddy Ballgame.
You know why? Because Ted used to say, generally, people are, you know, baseball players are intelligent, but they got no smarts, right? And he meaning common sense. Guys on a mound throwing downhill. Okay, 18 inches at the time, but
right.
12 inches up, releasing at 6 feet down to 22 inches off the ground. That's a downward plane. If you're going to meet the ball square, you got to swing up. That was his whole philosophy. So everybody's saying hit the top of the ball, swing down. And, you know, I looked at all this stuff when I was a kid, and I said, there's something inherently wrong about hitting the top of the ball. I want to hit the ball in the air. I wanted to hit home runs when I was a kid.
Everyone does.
Yeah, everyone does. That's the first thing a kid wants to do. Is hit home runs when he can.
Not to mention, once you get the ball up in the air, anything can happen, even if you don't make full contact.
Right, exactly. But they were teaching wrong. Now things have changed, gentlemen. I mean, it is a big.
So is that a league-wide thing now? They all hit under.
Oh, in the big leagues.
Yeah,
it's all about hitting the bottom of the ball and trying to hit line drives and hit the ball in the air.
Do you think Chris can hit off a Chapman?
He faced him twice. He walked and flew out to dead center, just got under it. You know, I remember when he was with Cincinnati. And, yeah, I think Chris could hit anybody.
Listen, any guy puts a ball over the plate. Yeah, Chapman's impressive, but even he got hit, right? Look at Andrew Miller.
Yeah.
Look what David Ross did to Andrew Miller.
Oh, guess what?
Ross.
Andrew Miller was tipping his pitches, and they figured it out the second game he played.
No way.
He would tweak his hand a little bit when he was throwing a slider, and he would set it when he was throwing a fastball. They went over it and over it and over it on video. They knew what was going on. That's where they started walking.
Andrew, if you're listening.
Yeah, too bad, Andrew. We got you.
For next year, stop tipping your pitches, buddy.
So what's it going to be like in the offseason now for the Cubbies and for Chris and everybody?
Well, they're very busy. A lot of them are, you know, because they're making arrangements with their sponsors to do, you know, appearances and trips. And
what's Chris got going?
Chris is
going
to get married, so that's the first
congratulations.
Priority.
That's his first sponsorship?
Yeah.
When's he getting married?
In the beginning of January. On the 7th.
In Vegas?
Yeah, here in Vegas.
Excellent.
So
at the Elvis
Chapel?
There'll
be no wedding crashers. Don't even think about it.
At the Elvis Chapel?
Yeah. No.
Tommy says he's doing the wedding.
Yeah.
I perform weddings.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I do. I renew vows. I have couples talk to each other, and you know, tell each other that they love each other in public, and it's, they seem to appreciate that type of dishonesty.
Don't you think there should be services for divorce?
Like I performed that too.
A divorce.
I'm a lawyer, you know. I, by the way,
I did not.
I'm a bona fide.
I know nothing about you, really.
Well, whose fault is that?
No, I like having a guest that I know nothing about.
Well, that's I respect your daring, but the thing is, I went to Brooklyn Law School.
Which happens to be a very good law school.
Is it really?
Yes, yeah. It is.
I graduated. Yeah, no. I
don't know if he's being serious or not, but it is a good law school.
I legitimately graduated Brooklyn Law School. I graduated the top third of the bottom third of my class.
And you decided after that you'd go into comedy?
And then, wait.
Okay.
And then I'm licensed. I'm licensed in New York and Connecticut. So there's no joke there.
But not in Las Vegas.
No, not like, but this is we're going back. This is before my comedy.
Before the comedy.
I started doing comedy during my second year of law school. And then I practiced maybe a year and a half or two, and then all this time doing comedy.
Do you have any lawyer jokes?
Yeah, many. Like, who do you want to represent you? Someone who's passed the bar or someone who's been behind them?
Or behind the bar. What do you call 10,000 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
That's
a good start.
A good start, yes.
A good start.
Yes.
There's so many lawyer jokes. Yeah. Almost as many lawyer jokes as blonde jokes.
Yeah. You know.
Lawyer up.
You know, I would go, I'm against the seatbelt laws. They say it saves lives. If you're strapped in the Ford Focus, is your life worth living? Who wants to be found in that?
So you're going to be Monday through Friday, five nights a week at the Strat?
Well, let me correct you, because I'm dark Wednesdays and Thursdays. And my shows will be 10 p.m.
10 p.m. show at the Stratosphere.
At the Stratosphere.
Is Pinup still there?
I don't know who is there.
Just
like
you.
Just like you. I know nothing unless it concerns me.
Yeah, exactly.
Touché.
That's exactly right. Just like me. Well, I saw you had a new show that was opening up. So I thought I'd invite you to the show because, you know, what the hell? We're here to promote everything that goes on here in Las Vegas that's fun. Because I'm the ambassador of fun.
I'm glad to meet you. Glad to meet you, ambassador.
Jonathan loves telling people it's all about me.
It's all about me. Enough about you.
It's just the way he is.
Yeah. Yeah. We're here to talk about Cubs. We're here to talk about football. We're here about anything that we want to talk about and have some fun and good food and good drink. We're going to take another commercial break. More with Vegas Nonstop here on KBAD 920 AM. Stay right where you are. Nonstop here on KBAD 920 AM.
That song is dedicated to Jonathan.
Yeah, all the news.
Don't
want to
be an American idiot.
American idiot. Clouseau, you idiot.
Kato, anyway, I am coming home tonight, and I do not want you to try to kill me.
Kato. So big thanks, big shout out to Mike Bryan for coming in and sharing the Cubs stories
with
us.
Man, he's got stories galore.
I can't get enough. I just can't get enough of the Cubs stories.
I mean, here's a kid who grew up in Boston, played for the Red Sox, tutored under Ted Williams, and now his kid is probably MVP of the league and just won the World Series with the Cubs. I mean, talk about baseball lineage. Unbelievable.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
It was fun. And you know, we're still living through it and still enjoying and relishing. And I still agree with Joe Montana that the baseball should be done now. Tommy Lama, what do you think? Baseball should be done? Cubs won the World Series, over?
It should have, yeah. I don't know why we're still talking about it. It's as if I'm not here.
Aren't you a Yankees fan?
I'm a Yankees fan, but I'm not religious.
Huh. What about a Giants fan?
I am a Giants fan.
So tonight, the Giants are playing in New York.
Jersey.
Against, well, close to New York.
East Rutherford.
East Rutherford, New Jersey. And what's going to happen? What's the big thing with the Chargers?
What do you mean, what's the big thing?
Well, they don't want to support the stadium.
They suck?
Well, I mean, the stadium and stuff, and the team staying in San Diego.
Same story is going on in Oakland. They don't want to support them. They don't want to come out. They don't want to put money into a stadium. The public certainly doesn't want to flip the bill the way we are here in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, it's different here.
It is different here. You're right, because we have 45 million visitors a year to help pay that bill. I don't think San Diego has 45 million visitors a year.
No.
They just can't win. That's the problem. They can't win. When you have a winning product on the field, people come out, people support, municipalities find ways to pay for new stadiums.
Well, the Cubs would sell out whether they won or lost.
There are certain towns, teams, Boston, St. Louis, Chicago, New York, where they could be 0-15 and they're coming out to root for their team. San Diego, the West Coast in general, is not like that. We were just talking about with Mike. The Dodgers are in the NLCS, and they're arriving in the third and leaving in the seventh to avoid the traffic in and out of Chavez Ravine. Terrible. Now, do you still follow football? Are you
Yeah. But, you know, what's astonishing about San Diego is that they're in the West Coast, and that's a place where people get rewarded for participation. So I don't understand why they're not coming out. That, you know, that's the land.
I understand.
You know. But, yeah, I follow football.
So tell me about your Giants tonight, because this is a really weird game for me to kind of handicap.
Here's the thing. I'm going against my spirit, because I play fantasy football here.
As do I.
And, unfortunately, I'm going to have to do a traitorous act and root against my I'm rooting against Odell. ODB.
Because you're playing against
I'm playing against OD. I'm behind 12 points because of CJ last night. CJ Procy from the Seattle.
I have him. Procise.
Oh, yeah, Procise.
I have
with
him.
With his 21 points on points per whatever.
You play in the PPR league.
Yeah, yeah. So so now I'm down by 12 points, and now I have AJ Green.
And he has Odell.
And I'm down 12 points. I don't like my chances.
I disagree.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think Dalton and AJ are going to light up the Giants secondary tonight, and I haven't seen a lot of fluidity between Manning and Odell. He's had some big games, but he hasn't been consistent.
Even though I'm down by 12 points now.
Yes.
I like what you're saying.
I like that you used the word fluidity.
AJ gets you 25, Odell gets him 11, you win by 2.
I do. I like this man. And I'm going to bless him later.
Thank you.
Bless him now. We only have a few more minutes.
Well, I usually have chimes, but I didn't bring them with me.
Well, let's pretend the chimes are going on.
Okay. Does this proposition entail my dressing up as Little Bo Peep?
Halloween is over.
What movie?
We're on to Thanksgiving.
Fletch.
And I have to say, like, fantasy football is like methadone for people who like to gamble. It's the way to wean off, if you want to wean off.
Exactly.
Right.
What if they do
but
both?
But I do support gambling,
What if
though?
You do both?
I gamble and I play fantasy.
Yeah, I do both. Exactly.
Jeffrey does both.
And a little meth sometimes.
Yeah. When he's not
and the thing
Norton
is, like,
Fish.
The problem, gambling has, like, a bad rap. And you know what?
You have all these
groups that pop up like Gamblers Anonymous, right? Right? If they really cared about their clientele, they would teach them how to win.
Yeah, I have a problem with Alcoholics Anonymous, because I don't think you should have to say your name. Just start with, hello, my name.
That's why I like Sex Anonymous.
Yeah.
No names are asked.
How about when you walk in the casino, they have those pamphlets when the fun's over. When it's not fun anymore.
When the fun is over, you go back to Nebraska. That's when the fun is over. I'm not a quitter.
Exactly.
That's what I say about my drinking.
AA is for quitters.
Yeah. All right, so we've got. So you're liking the Giants tonight?
No, you know what's funny? All the numbers point to the Giants, right? They're 5-3 at home. Cincinnati's 3-4. The Giants are much better at home. But because the Giants look good on paper, you should take Cincinnati.
And 48 points on the over and under?
I like the under.
Yeah, of course you do.
I like the under.
You want to give us a 3-pick for
coming up this week?
Yeah, Thursday and Sunday.
Yeah, I'll take a quick look right now. I'll take the Saints against Carolina, 3.5. I like the hook there. Carolina's falling apart.
Are you buying it down?
No, I'm getting the 3.5.
Oh, you're getting +3.5.
+3.5. I'll take, look at that game. Arizona, Minnesota, Baltimore, and the Cowboys. That's a lot.
How about them Cowboys?
I'll go over Dallas, Baltimore, 45.
Okay.
And I'll take, you guys are going to think I'm crazy.
You're crazy.
I'll take Cleveland at home against the Steelers, +8.5.
Really? How could you do that?
Because I'm just off the Steelers. I told you to get off them weeks ago.
Yeah.
They can't win right now. That's a bad team. And neither can Green Bay.
And neither can Cleveland. Cleveland definitely can't win because they haven't.
All right, I'll give you another one. Give me the Redskins over the Packers at home, -2.5. That's a great line for the home team.
Any restaurant news?
Any restaurant
news? Well, you got any new restaurants opening up?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, obviously, the ones that we always go to are still wonderful.
I still haven't been to the Beauty in Sex.
Beauty in Essex.
Yeah, that.
At the Cosmo, who just won Best New Restaurant. My friend Adam, congratulations. You guys do an amazing job over there. The Cosmo. We got to go see Chef Gino. And
listen, herringbone.
Big dogs, baby. Big dogs. That's what it's all about.
Big dogs, live music on the patio Thursday nights. All-you-can-eat Thanksgiving dinner coming up next week. Make sure on Friday, tune in to Facebook Live when we're having fun at our lunchtime show with Vegas Nonstop. Send us your comments if you got an idea for the show or anything you want to talk about at Jonathan Scott LV, @JonathanScottLV. And visit us at Vegas Nonstop, any of the Facebook pages. Eat well, party hard, and I think we're going to wrap it up. Have a good time, everybody.
Have a good
Eat
Monday,
well,
everyone.
And party hard. Cheers.
Gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to